Blog Talk Radio.
Enough is enough. Yeah. And you are not coming to the people's defense. So if you want us to do better, then damn it, you do better. Do what you say. This country is supposed to be about the land of the free for all. It has not been free for black people, and we are tired.
One question, protect and serve who? To me it seems that they just quit to observe you, and then they have the nerve to come and disturb you, enforce a curfew that physically hurt you. I heard the patience was a virtue, but how long we gonna disregard the fact is we all talk and practice this new age, trying to rebuke rage, or y'all gonna need some skin more tougher than Luke Cage. Trayvon, Terrence, they gone, perish, on up to George Floyd. See what your laws avoid, and now we gotta find some sort of...
Busting your fist against a stone wall. You're not using your brain. That's what the white man wants you to do. Look at you. What makes you ashamed of being black?
Number love for you.
You know how hard it is.
No doubt.
Being a woman, a black woman
no
at that. In this white man's world. Sometimes we overlook the fact that we can ride hard in our fits. We don't be knowing the pain we can cause.
This white man's world.
This white man's world. I ain't saying I'm innocent at all. All those times that I messed up, but we messed up.
Dear sister, got me twisted up in prison, I missed you. Crying, looking at my nieces and my nephews' picture. They say don't let this cool world get you. Kinda suspicious, swearing one day you might leave me for somebody that's richer. Twist the cap off the bottom, I take a sip and see tomorrow. Gotta make it if I have to beg a bottle. Reading love letters late night, locked down and quiet. If brothers don't receive they mail, best believe we ride. Jack Mack, staring at the walls, sorry, inside this cage where they captured all my ways and bonds. In time I learned a few lessons, never fall for riches. Apologies to my true sisters, far from bitches. Help me raise my black nation, reparations to do. It's true, caught up in this world, I took advantage of you. So tell the babies how I love them, precious boys and girls, born black in this white man's world.
And all I heard was,
to my homie's head, died in his vest. Shot him to death and left him bleeding for his family to see. I passed the casket, gently ask him, is it heaven for Jesus? My homeboy's doing life, baby mama be stressing. Shedding tears when a son finally asked that question. Where my daddy at? Mama, why we live so poor? Why you crying? Heard you late night to my bedroom door. Now do you love me, mama? Why they keep on calling me nigga? Get my weight up with my hate and pay him back when I'm bigger. It's still thugging in his jail cell. Missing my block, hearing brothers screaming all night, wishing they stop. Proud to be black, but while we act like we don't love ourselves. So look around, but some check your sense. Know what it means to be black, whether a man or girl, we still struggling. And it's white man's world.
It's white man's world.
We must fight for brotherhood. We must fight for brotherhood.
And I'm thinking of an eye. My time away just made perfection. Cause I think I die. Not going to cry, why should I care? Like we holding on the lost love that's no longer there. Can you please help me? God bless me, please keep my seeds healthy. Making all my enemies bleed while my G's wealthy. Hoping they bury me with ammunition, weed and shells. Just in case they trip in heaven, ain't no G's in hell. Sister, sorry for the pain that I caused your heart. I know I'll change if you help me, but don't fall. Yummy and cater, too much for this cold world to take. Ended up being fatal. Every woman in America, especially black, bear with me, can't you see that we under attack? I never meant to cause trauma to my sister and mama. Hope we make it to better times.
world.
You're out of touch with reality. A few of you in a few smoke-filled rooms calling that the mainstream, while the masses of the people, white and black, red, yellow, and brown, poor and vulnerable, are suffering in this nation.
The seal and the Constitution reflect the thinking of the founding fathers that this was to be a nation by white people and for white people. Native Americans, blacks, and all other non-white people were to be the burden bearers for the real citizens of this nation.
My name is Asada Shakur, and I was born and raised in the United States. I am a descendant of Africans who were kidnapped and brought to the Americas as slaves. I spent my early childhood in the racist, segregated South. I later moved to the northern part of the country, where I realized that black people were equally victimized by racism and oppression. I grew up and became a political activist, participating in student struggles, the anti-war movement, and most of all, in the movement for the liberation of African Americans in the United States. I later joined the Black Panther Party, an organization that was targeted by the COINTELPRO program, a program that was set up by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to eliminate all political opposition to the U.S. government's policies, to destroy the black liberation movement in the United States, to discredit activists, and to eliminate potential leaders. Under the COINTELPRO program, many political activists were harassed, imprisoned, murdered, or otherwise neutralized. As a result of being targeted by COINTELPRO, I, like many other young people, was faced with the threat of prison, underground, exile, or death. The FBI, with the help of local police agencies, systematically fed false accusations and fake news articles to the press, accusing me and other activists of crimes we did not commit. Although in my case, the charges were eventually dropped or I was eventually acquitted, the national and local police agencies created a situation where, based on their false accusations against me, any police officer could shoot me on sight. It was not until the Freedom of Information Act was passed in the mid-70s that we began to see the scope of the United States government's persecution of political activists. At this point, I think that it is important to make one thing very clear. I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty. To make a long story short, I was captured in New Jersey in 1973 after being shot with both arms held in the air and then shot again from the back. I was left on the ground to die, and when I did not, I was taken to a local hospital where I was threatened, beaten, and tortured. In 1977, I was convicted in a trial that can only be described as a legal lynching. In 1979, I was able to escape with the aid of some of my fellow comrades. I saw this as a necessary step, not only because I was innocent of the charges against me, but because I knew that the racist legal system in the United States, I would receive no justice. I was also afraid that I would be murdered in prison. I later arrived in Cuba, where I am currently living in exile as a political refugee. The New Jersey State Police and other law enforcement officials say they want to see me brought to justice. But I would like to know what they mean by justice. Is torture justice? I was kept in solitary confinement for more than 2 years, mostly in men's prisons. Is that justice? My lawyers were threatened with imprisonment.
I just want to spend a minute talking about a couple of the, you know, some of the parallels between mass incarceration and Jim Crow, and then, you know, end it. Once I get started talking here, I can go. But consider some of the rules and laws that apply to those labeled felons today, and ask yourself if they remind you of a bygone era. Denial of the right to vote, right? 48 states and the District of Columbia denied prisoners the right to vote. Now, mind you, that's not the case in other Western democracies. You know, in fact, in other countries, there are often voting campaigns within prisons. There's voting drives within prisons. In other Western democracies, you don't forfeit your citizenship when you go to prison. You're still a person. You're still a citizen. You're still part of that country, even if you're in prison. You get to vote. In the United States, nearly every state denies prisoners the right to vote, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because then once you're released, you can be denied a right to vote for a period of years, maybe until your probation or parole expires, or for the rest of your life. It's up to the individual state. And nationwide, about 1 in 8 black men are either temporarily or permanently disenfranchised as a result of felon disenfranchisement laws. Exclusion from jury service. You know, one hallmark of the Jim Crow era, of course, was all-white juries, you know, particularly in the South. Well, these all-white juries have had a roaring comeback in recent years. Why? Well, in part because anyone convicted of a felony is considered automatically ineligible for jury service. Automatically ineligible for jury service. And then, get this. If you've ever had a negative experience with law enforcement, you could be struck from a jury for cause. You know, prosecutors able to persuade the judge that that negative experience that you have with law enforcement might bias your judgment in a criminal case. Now, good luck finding.
Right.
Many African Americans, particularly of Portuguese of color, who have not yet had a negative experience with law enforcement that conceivably biased them in a criminal case. So even in some areas with relatively large black populations, you see all-white or nearly all-white.
Today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap. Him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world is gotta try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threats to society, and now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangster Nip Spice warned that Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangster rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks don't get to get. So why you trying to kick some dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas but they fucked up. And we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's peep the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That's freaks worse than PG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
So now they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation. Tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man. While listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest hit, a casket. A nigga got his ass kicked. Shot in the face by a cop. Closed casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got. They wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't jig me, then nigga, you can sue me. Cause the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man, got it. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
You better free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with Detroit or pop. I'll fill my hot rocks. Bang bang, boom boom, ping ping. I'm the black white boy's got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I do Muhammad. Do we got a brother? I'm McNeil. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house nigga Don Cornelius? Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil, think scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face. But I bust two times to the guts. Do the Reverend Calvin bust. Got a pair of nuts. I started this gangster shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot. And I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping it on these sellout ass niggas.
Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
Mother, my father, sisters, my brother, God. They were intended to familiarize them with the situation I was faced with here. Of course, here in prison, we see the repression, the exploitation, the victimization of lower class.
In 61, Jackson was 19 years old, and he received the indeterminate sentence of 1 year to life.
Well, I was incarcerated under a one to life, a term that calls for a one to life, where I could have done 1 year and been released. I've done 10. That's more time than anybody in this state has ever done on a one to life. I went through all the processes. I tried to get out. I went to school, program. But now on the side, I was studying, things that I felt that would help the community.
Those on the right saw him as the most powerful threat in the prison system.
I think racism is a control device, control mechanism. Create an atmosphere whereby they can control inmates, And black is just a continuation.
He was the true revolutionary, the black communist guerrilla in the highest state of development.
I'd be the last one to say that Johnson had suicide in mind. I'm certain that Johnson felt that the police would have some concern, would give some concern to the lives of those five civilians. I'm thinking that Johnson was trying to demonstrate, to the public, to the people, just how he felt that these problems should be solved.
Was the incident for which you're charged now, was it a revolutionary act on your part?
You're asking me to confess to something?
As an aside, you wanted to. Did you feel that?
Look, one of the most important elements of guerrilla warfare is maintain secrecy. I've killed nobody until it's been proven. And they'll never be able to.
Know what I mean? It's war. Know what I mean? Yo, stick. I mean, shit be real on
war.
The block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs. Takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. When you sue the system for your prints, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gat battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it Kiss versus Beans or P versus Ho? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DP, don't you forget. Cause you can talk, talk, but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop your top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all go down. It's not pop versus big, it's who's getting the power. And power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people station, that's war. Know what I mean? Yeah. Rap war, whatever war. You live a fast life, more or less, more so, it's still war. Dead prayers, the people radio. Yeah. Get down, get down, get down. RBGZ, biatch.
You are now listening to WRBG, the people's radio. It's a takeover, not a make.
In the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living, should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black, my stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a negro, pull a trigger, killing, he's a hero. Get it to the kids who the hell cares, one less hungry mouth on the welfare. First trick them, don't let them deal with brothers, give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's for you.
Black power, black power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People, weekly Tuesday night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chair, Nat Turner, co-host myself, National Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland, and our engineers on the ones and twos, National Minister of Communications, Sister Amina. Call in each and every Tuesday night. Same black place, same black time at 845-277-9266. And please, press 1 to participate if you want to get on and have any questions or comments about any topic that we are, if you have any comments on a topic at hand. Tonight's topic, the political of the Supreme Court ban affirmative action. We're going to open up our phone lines to our national chair, Nat Turner. Black Power and Yahuru, comrade, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, my brother, right on. Black Power, all power to the
power.
People. Right on. Welcome to another show, In Defense of People Radio, political education class. With those of us who, may that understand the political ramifications of our relationship with this government, with this system, going beyond the norm, the usual, the orthodox understanding of things, one's views or opinions are being shaped by these political pundits, these talking heads, who they present to us in the national level of media communication, all forms, radio, television, newspaper, magazine, journal, even billboard, and so forth, in the commercials even. Control factor. No one controls us or dictates how are we going to come across with the way we see the world or when we see things from the relationship I experience with the state, pitching the businessman, the judge, and the police. Work hand in glove with a concerted effort to keep the structure intact, to keep the hierarchy intact, with the white male rule at the top, the white ruling class, which steers and controls and owns as the proprietor of the machine, which wields its power and lords it over to collect the masses of the people, in particular, in our case, being people of African descent, black people. We do want to say this, too. From time to time, if not all the time, but some of the time, when we do a radio show, our shit get messed with. You know what I mean? It's no coincidence that the sound or what have you may go in and out or may be disrupted or whatever. We understand that, and we see that as an attempt on the part of the state. It's goon squad that operates electronics, so-called technology, to disrupt any form of media communication that has the potential to raise the conscious level of the people, to get the people to see the contradictions in the things that affect them on a daily basis, to heighten one's awareness as to being so-called black in this type of society, which is basically a decadent society, which has disguised itself under various forms of attractive cosmetics. In the meantime, the black collective masses experience has been one of a dismal relationship. It's understood by those of us who understand the system. People's political party, we're a Black Panther Party oriented and Garvey influenced. We feel that is the perfect combination that we should have in the midst of the Eurocentric ideal or view of the world, white supremacy, in its finest and its various forms of tentacles, business, finance, education, science, technology, religion, sports, entertainment, and so forth. And it affects us all, and it will potentially destroy us all if we don't free ourselves from this system that we understand as capitalism, which is a very predatory system. It preys upon the whims and vulnerabilities of people once they are gotten in a position of dependency. Profit motive is a capitalist religion, and the capitalism is their Bible to seek and exploit and to dominate people not only in this country but around the world, particularly black and brown people, which is a form of racism, and it's a very sophisticated operation. Whereas with the whites who become antagonistic, who are on the opposite end of the contradiction, you know, we talk about class issues between the poor whites, the whites who struggle within their own system, as we understand, as we know it, for several decades, for several hundred years. You know, tonight's topic is just a part of the whole pie that affects black people collectively. The political ramifications of the affirmative action, of the decision to ban affirmative action, we hope to go into and leave our listeners with a understanding, you know, put something on the minds of the people. Hopefully it can raise the people's conscious level. We have to extricate ourselves from this system, you know, as black people. And there are those of us who are still pipe dreaming. There are those of us who have still been affected by the utopian ideal that came out of the 60s. Some may find this problematic. It's no personal event, more anything of a critical analysis and appraisal of the situation from a very tedious standpoint or viewpoint. As again, I like to use the mechanic as an example of one who knows every facet, every nook and cranny of the automobile engine. You know, he knows his shit, and it would be very difficult to refute him in the sense of telling you the problem that has arisen. He's going to it intricately and can specifically spot the problem, whether it be the smallest problem, the electrical problem, what have you, the spark plug or the start or whatever. You know, it's this type of correlation, you know, here. We don't profess to have any monopoly on anything. And we believe that following in the footsteps of such groups as the Black Panther Party, the understanding that the Black Panther Party developed, being the children of Malcolm X, so to speak, and Malcolm's understanding, his prowess, you know, to really get our people to see. So this decision, Supreme Court, is no more nor less than a political football, you know. It's being passed back and forth between two sets. The same coin, even though the head and the tails look physically, visually different. But it is the same forces that are playing a fun game of back and forth, basically. And I say a fun game. To them, it's exciting. It's exhilarating to, you know, give blows back and forth to one another, because it doesn't really determine anything as far as the true power goes. These are just the people who are represent the outward expression. They're the face, they're the distraction. You know, they're the cosmetics behind the cosmetics. You know what I'm saying? Or the cosmetics in front of the cosmetics, if you will. You know, these presidents come along and, you know, there's a vacancy that has developed on the Supreme Court. And so, therefore, this president comes and obviously has the opportunity to choose somebody to go on the Supreme Court to his liking. And, of course, he's a Republican. You wouldn't expect a Republican to choose a Democrat. You would expect a Republican to choose someone who's, quote-unquote, a conservative. Or if it's a Democratic president who comes into office and that vacancy arises, you would expect him to choose somebody who's democratically, you know, oriented in terms of their liberalism, their ideology. And of course, you know, Donald Trump and Joe Biden each had, you know, the opportunity to do it. And I believe Donald Trump may have had two opportunities, if I can remember. But I do, you know, as of late, Joe Biden's choice of Ketanji Jackson. I've said it before, I don't believe it's coincidence that his woman has an African name, dark brown complexion, her hair is, you know, sort of African style. But yet in the psyche of this old white man, he sees himself in her husband. So the liberalism. And so she wrote this this essay delivering the dissent, so to speak. And that was by design. And Alfre Woodard, an actress, a heck of an actress, who's played in a number of movies, read this, you know, this dissent. And of course, you know, the usual line, the usual disappointment, the usual rage and outrage and anger and so forth, the usual thing about trampling our democracy or fairness and setting back equality back off into, you know, the bygone days, now that we've had a black president, a post-racial society. Now we've got a vice president who's 1 minute a woman of color, who the next minute can be called the first black female vice president in history, and so forth, so forth. Yet that doesn't change anything. It's a battle, in particularly between the black slash Negro intelligentsia that Du Bois had coined as a tablet of ten versus white supremacy. And this is a smidgen of a larger battle. And the reason why I say it's a smidgen of a large battle is because this tablet of ten doesn't weigh up against the collective masses of the people in the streets, the people in the real communities, those who are who on paper as employees or employed, the source of labor, the part of the working class people. In the larger scene, of course, you cannot ignore or discount what would be the underclass, the outcast, as the name of the duo rap group out of Atlanta had chose specifically for that reason. It was a political statement in them choosing the name Outkast. And in Russian terminology, European revolutionary language, I would refer to as the lumpen proletariat. And so it's a larger war. And inside this larger war was a recent blow, a setback on a very small scale as a result of the affirmative action, the banning of affirmative action. And of course, those who seek to into the academic world to safeguard their lives or to get a hold of financial stability, upward mobility, you know, to be able to enjoy the luxuries of material comfort through the academic corridor, the academic channel, you know. And even that door is certainly closing in itself, which pushes those who have sought the avenue from that direction into a sort of a quagmire. And so with this affirmative action, a ruling is a setback for that particular class of black people who have tried to be the face of equality and who have tried to be the face of the progress, the face of Jesse Jackson referred to as keeping hope alive, the face of projecting America onto the world, that black people have come a long way, that things are not the same as it was in the 50s and the 60s, and that the gains of the civil rights movement had advanced the freedom struggle for black people and it placed black people in a whole nother realm. And some of that may be true, but some of it is also rather utopian. Because if we have a segment of us, a small segment of that Du Bois referred to as the talent of 10, which in essence would be the leadership of black people, the question is, what has that leadership done for the collective masses of the people? Has that leadership actually served the rest of us, the non-academic, the non-scholar, the non-intellectual? You know, those of us who don't speak the King's English or the Queen's English or whatever you want to call it. You know, those of us who just speak the normal, regular vernacular that we've inherited from physical slavery and have improved upon in the so-called schooling system of America. And so that is a you know, the picture that I am attempting to paint here, a realistic one. And is there any form of unification that would unify black people collective over a decision to bar black people from entering the academic world in an effort to try to erase past inequality in education? And it's almost, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. The descendants of those who had been the perpetrators of this inequality, the descendants of those who had structured the system, the descendants of those who methodically plotted and planned since physical slavery from the black codes to deprive black people of an education. And these are the descendants who now have selective amnesia. These are the descendants on one end would tell us that that was in the past, and that the civil rights acts that were passed have set us on a fair footing now. These are the same descendants who would tell us that was so long ago that we didn't have anything to do with it. And the same descendants who would appreciate black people and would want black people to celebrate with them on the 4th of July. And what was the 4th of July? A celebration of the freedom of the white ruling class slash the larger white segment of what became known as the American enterprise. And so damned if you do, damned if you don't. If we don't, then they keep us in the same conditions and the situations that they had us in the 50s and the 60s. And if we do, then it's unfair to the descendants of the ancestors who created the conditions in the first place. So they are walking contradictions either way. Go. And so when you look at the whole picture, one would be able to draw the conclusion that black people should develop the thought pattern or the revolutionary ideal to smash the system. So it won't be no more damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, there's a number of things that I just wanted to try to cover. Because it's so much, you know what I'm saying? But I want to make sure that it's clearly understood that the affirmative action in education is not the total outcome of whether or not black people succeed. It is only a small part of the outcome, and that outcome in itself does us no good if we enter the academic world and help the empire stay intact, assist the empire in keeping its lofty position. Not only over black people here in this country or black and brown people, denying whites in general, but denying whites around the world. And we say no to that. We object to it. In essence, it is no more and no less than saying that becoming an accomplice, a willing accomplice, on the part maybe of most of us, or some of us would become unwilling accomplices who are actually conscious of what I'm saying. There's a solution to everything. This is chess, this is not checkers. But we object to those who would enter the collegiate world to help the system stay intact for their own selfish purpose, for their own selfish means. And then when voting time comes, those same individuals now will share some type of solidarity with the rest of the black population to vote for their interests, those who they see basically as their man, because their man is basically going to be chosen out of their own ranks. And there's a layer to these ranks. It's sort of like the craft of Freemasonry, you know, the neophyte, the inner apprentice, and what's referred to as the worship for master at the third degree. And collectively, this is the same entity. But there's some distinctions that are made among the three. And more times than not, the intelligentsia that remains aloof from the rest of the collective black problems who seek the help of the rest of the collective masses of the black people to help their man get an office as the first governor or whatever, so-and-so made history of the first black president, the first this, the first so-and-so this, the first so-and-so that, the first CEO of Chase Bank, the first CEO of American Express, and so forth, and on and on and on and on. And we have to bring this up because affirmative action affects them more than it will affect the rest of us. Now, there are those of us, as I said, you know, into the collegiate world and go on and still somehow, some kind of way maintain or to be able to hold on to at least some measure of blackness, you know, and would fall into the category of a black petty bourgeoisie. These terms, black, pro-black, you know. And so this is what it is. And so what we're trying to get at is how could we break those barriers and affirmative action actually benefits the collective masses of the people on the scale of potential leaders, as opposed to those who, like I said, birds of a feather, same feather flock together. And so this decision on the part of these white men, you know, on the part of these white men, these six white men, somebody may say, well, better than that, it was five white men and one black man. And I would still say it was six white men and no black men. Clarence Thomas was no more, no less. It's just a genetically black man. And we have to be very clear on that. He is a hypocrite. I remember years ago, this affirmative action thing had been in the air, you know, like 20 years ago, somewhere around it. Around the time of the Anita Hill thing, when he was put on kangaroo court. You know, he was put up for entertainment, whether he had sexually harassed her or not or whatever. And there were those who were, angry, you know, mad that the white man was simply going after him because he was black. And the sisters were these sisters had been in a quagmire on their own. And this had gotten overlooked. The sisters were forced to choose between defending a black woman who they believe had really been sexually harassed or defending a black man whom the white man was going after because he was black. And that got overlooked, or it got pushed to the back of the closet, or the not in the frontal lobe of our brain as black people back then. And so we weighed that, a lot of us, and we felt that it was a setup. We weighed that she was actually telling the truth, but because Clarence Thomas is the white man's nigga, nothing was going to happen to him. Plus the fact that he was also male, because this is a male-dominated, what they call a patriarchal society. So naturally, the women would get the short end of the stick. In some instances, whether they're black, brown, red, yellow, or white. It was just a double whammy for Anita Hill because she was both a woman and black. And so Clarence Thomas, it had been said that he had benefited from the affirmative action program. And he was a beneficiary of it. That the people that came out of the 60s, and he's old enough to have come out of the 60s, and his parents in the 50s, who had been denied their rights, had been water holes, some of those have been chased out of the country, some of those been assassinated, some of those been thrown up in their gulags, their concentration camps on trumped up charges, became political prisoners. And from all of that, Clarence Thomas benefited. and was able to go to college under affirmative action. So the old saying that goes, he forgot where he came from, or his shit don't stink, and so forth and so forth. Or he forgot from whose loins he dropped from whose womb he came from, a black woman. So how could he be opposed to the same program from which he benefited? And that is clear because it was for selfish purposes and selfish means that Clarence Thomas would make his decision. There are a lot of us who are like that. We be with that black shit right on, brother, right on, sister. Black this, black that, brother and sister. And when we got our feet in the door, and then we was able to get all the way in the door, we turned that shit loose. Now, I don't know to what level it was stage Clarence Thomas was at, but I do understand this here, that he's no more nor less than the property of the white ruling class. He's no more nor less than the white man's hope. He's no more nor less than the upkeeper of the white ruling class's power structure under what was referred to as the Republicans. And yes, his wife is white. And you know, personally, I don't try to get so enamored with that. And of course, yes, any black man that makes up of himself and becomes a political figure or nationally known person, whether he want to be a superstar in sports or big time actors on the screen and won the Oscar, the Grammy, whatever. Yeah, I would love to see him with a black woman on his elbow, because it is a black woman from day one that helped us make it through this shit in the first place. Like the old story between Osiris and Isis from the so-called ancient Egyptian mythology, where Isis was the backbone of Osiris. As Osiris made things happen, his support, his backbone, was his queen, his sister. And there's a moral to that story. And so we say, yes, black man, you are Osiris. Therefore, you should have Isis with you wherever you go. But yes, in the real world, there will be some blood mixing and whatnot and so forth. But we also understand that it's also a mechanical thing that's going on. And so the importance of education, how important affirmative action is to black people collectively or a small, tiny, tiny portion of us is at stake here is the issue. We take a line of historical perspective, not just hurling things out, throwing things out there without taking a look, like Malcolm X was trying to teach us, to understand our relationship, a historical relationship. No two people have gotten together and have been together for 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years even, don't know each other's history. Because the chance is they probably wouldn't have made it that far. And so Clarence Thomas has gotten himself in a lofty position. And in so many ways, his loyalty expresses itself to the state. And in a selfish move, look and see it as a personal choice or a personal decision, and not blaming the white man for your problems. And there are a lot of us who are like that. As a matter of fact, present adult population in the 50s and 60 years of age range possess that type of thought process. But it's very interesting that in some instances it can be a personal decision. But in other instances, it becomes a collective choice. And so we're trying to figure out how the two can go hand in glove with one another. Of course, we all have to make personal decisions. But the thing that gets left out is the effects of the social conditions on people's personal decisions. And so now there's this setback. And you can even look at it from this angle. But were it not the white ruling class having struck a deal with those who have been the leadership back in the 50s and the 60s, and this is a fact. This is true. This is something that is not generally discussed. This is something that is shunned. You know, certain of us are given passes, you know, beyond criticism from the followers. We've even been made to feel guilty to even bring it up. Some of us are made to feel that we're being divisive. Some are, and there's these forces that have, because of that, have made themselves the monopolists on what unity should look like. This is why it's always referred to as the civil rights movement instead of a black liberation movement, a liberation movement. A human rights movement rooted in liberation. And so a sort of betrayal, if you understand it from that perspective, of the Negro intelligentsia, a sort of backstab on the part of the white ruling class, which has depended on the Negro intelligentsia to help the empire stay in this lofty position, lest they pull a coup. And this is what we mean by dissecting this generalizations about affirmative action. And Malcolm X said it already. We don't really have to repeat it. But what he said was, those of us who want to seek an education in the collegiate world and study these different arts and sciences fields or what have you, do so under the condition that you will come back and help your own people, or turn back and help your own people practice what other groups are practicing. That's nationalism. All the other groups have practiced nationalism because of the understanding about group preservation in a society that's mixed with so-called different races or ethnic groups. While this platonic outward appearance of multiculturalism has flooded our youth's mind, we've said it before that if this multiculturalism thing is so real, then how come the school system doesn't offer a Swahili class for our children? Instead, it offers French and Spanish. We ain't from Spain, and we ain't from France. We came from Africa. In recent times, that is. In recent times. And so affirmative action is very important to a certain segment of us. And we understand that as a setback. And so therefore, the decision has been made. And this decision is predicated on what? Decisions are basically predicated on the fact that the Europeans will always be conscious of the position or the advancement of the gains, of the progress of the black people who collectively they've kept in check economically, politically, and socially, and financially. You know, this is the real shit. You know, it's no some delusion. Know, some fans. Anybody want to comment, question? Push the one. You know, it is what it is. You know, we should be able to have a type of discussion, you know, among our people. There are those of us who have access to national media. You know, CNN, Fox. Well, CNN rather. Fox and this Newsmax channel, which is, you know, basically pro-Trump, you know, pro-Republican, Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity can get a so-called black guest on his show. You know, again, a genetically black man. You know, he's done it before. Some of the most twisted individuals, like Larry Elder, you know, who would make you sick to your stomach and be on there and doing the same song and dance as Clarence Thomas, you know. Whereas CNN would get black petty bourgeoisie on that, and they were railed against the decision because it affects their class, it affects their group, and some of it was done, you know. But in that, you know, we may be rather insensitive on your part. You know, you don't seem to share disgust with the decision. My disgust is on a larger scale. And as I said, that is a small war inside a larger war. And it's all is just as much as saying that the white ruling class may see some advances in certain positions of certain blacks within society, and the extreme whites, you know, see it as maybe as a potential threat to their intellectual status. You know, maybe some of those who are entering, who have entered through affirmative action, and have become socialist lean, you know, maybe in certain colleges and universities, teaching what would be the so-called woke culture, you know, the 1619 Project. That could be what fueled it. But we are quite sure, if anything, that decision was based on white male rule, and that these displaced whites who Donald Trump has exploited, you know, through his Make America Great campaign, he's exploited their frustrations and forget selectively that they're the descendants of the people who created the conditions in the first place. And that if you swap this around, and let's say it was Arabs who had done it, who had been in a position to lock the position to rule the whites. And that the whites would need some type of amenities, if you will, to pull themselves up by the bootstrap and to try to become the equals of the Arabs. And the Arabs, after a while, decided to rescind the measures that they put out to help the whites. And I believe that it would be violence in the streets on the part of whites. The reactionary forces of white people, the reactionary psyche of white people, if it was the other way around, if it was that scenario. But since it's the white ruling class, and then you have these so-called common whites who are seeking to advance themselves, then they see that these blacks have been given too much. When these same blacks haven't been given anything at all, like the right to their reparations. And so to look at that, you can see further division. Whereas in the socialist revolution, the socialist struggle, what worked to uniting the poor whites, the displaced whites, with the black and the brown collectively to top of the system. And of course, it's a bully, and the bully has picked on the black, brown, the red, and the yellow. It would only be practical that the black, the brown, red, and the yellow would unite and deal with the bully together, collectively. But we have a problem there. Look, this thing is so loaded. So loaded. If you take the group that is besides these whites who feel like they've been discriminated against because they're white in favor of somebody who's black, who's less qualified, could that be the only group that has popped the champagne over the decision? And we don't think that that's the only group that just popped the champagne. We believe that the other group that just popped the champagne, it has been in the media, has been the Asians, the East Asians. By American standards, is a minority. And so therefore, if they're minorities, then affirmative action tells on itself as a specific apparatus that serves specifically one of the minorities, which is black people. Black people, why? And because of what? Because we're the only group in this country that was brought here by violence, by force, the force of violence, or the violence of force. And then to get us in a condition by maintaining that same ideology. And the same ideology is still intact. It's what the activists call police brutality. And so these wrongs to right or wrong became affirmative action, action that was affirmed to take action to alleviate legacy of slavery that still permeates the black collective mass. But the white descendants, a portion of them, and we're not going to try to figure out if it's 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10, or 2 out of 10, or whatever. We're not going to try to do the math on that. They've decided that, okay, we understand, but enough of that shit. You and I as equals. If that's the case, then why won't they tell us that IQs of white people are higher than the IQs of black people? But then there's another group in there that seems to challenge the white IQ. These is the Asians. Even like at some of these graduation ceremonies, high school, it's probably something around the country where there's been a minority of Asians in these schools, and that the valedictorian and others have been, a lot of them have been Asians. They've outdone the whites. But the Asians have come in voluntarily in the exchange program. And that's because of the empire. And their experiences during World War I, World War II, the Red Scare under McCarthy, which is what led to their internment in concentration camps. Afterwards, they were reparated. So they got their just due. In the meantime, the black people who were brought here by force have never gotten their just due. And for those who have tried to advance themselves collegially have been reminded of not getting their just due. And so they fear that black people have been set back. And this is what this Ketanji Jackson dissent piece was all about, that Alfre Woodard read. And I can imagine, you know, the talking heads, you know, black figures, whoever, you, Charlemagne the God, and all these other people with these syndicated shows, you know, Eric Michael Dyson's, the Griot Black News Network, Lamont Hill, Hall Hill, whatever his name is, you know, the usual ones that are presented as the voice of Black America, you know, we're very clear on this. And so the Asians have seen that the same way the whites who feel they've been discriminated against because they're white. Now that'll be the day that black people have the power to bar white people from advancing themselves. It is so fantastical. This is no more, no less than an opportunity for those whites to exploit that somehow their own government has now made them the new slaves, the new discriminants, because they're white. And, of course, people like Donald Trump come along, take advantage of the white Aryan resistance groups, the white nationalist groups, you know, neo-Nazi style, coming on to seize the time and win recruits. And that has been actually played out in several movies. High Learning, starring Ice Cube. And everybody loved Ice Cube's character. We all did. You know, the afro with the pick, you know what I'm saying, with the fist on it. You know, the room where you look, you come in here, you got to read something, you know, the black power consciousness, you know, militant, you know what I'm saying? Everybody loved that character. But there's the white boy, Remy, on the campus, who become the outcast. And, of course, the you know, the white neo-Nazi dudes are hanging around, and they manipulate him because he's become vulnerable. And so that's how they were able to recruit him and then get him to, to do, the terrorist act from the top of the building. So that's been betrayed. So it seized the time. So those of us a revolutionary, we must seize the time. This is chess. We must seize the time too. And we say to those who have been set back that you should become revolutionary in the way you think, and that you should join the revolutionary forces to topple the system. They've made that decision. They've shown you. They've placed these nine whites on the Supreme Court. They've given us all that. Outwardly, they've given us that. A black woman, a Latino woman, and so forth. A black man, and so forth. You know, they've given us that. But it's one thing that never changed hands. The same thing that never changed hands, and the building never got painted another color when Obama moved in. It was still called the White House. Power structure is still intact. And the oppressed are going to have to understand, no matter how much, this keep hope alive thing keeps running itself. The oppressed masses are going to have to take the power. And, of course, it conceives nothing without a demand first. Now, we've been here long enough to ask the question, have the demands ever been served? And by whom? In the meantime, the agents have shown what their position is. Now, why is that? Well, you know, the agents in their subconscious about science and technology and finance, those are the keys. Science and technology and finance. Now, if you take each one of those, science, what will come to mind? What will come to mind? Science, what will come to mind? You know, a high-tech weapon system. You know, uranium, chemistry, physics, and so forth. Technology, what? How to use technology to do what? How to transform the society to a space-age society using technology. And, of course, finance, banking, money transfers, the accumulation of capital. And this is the Japanese. This is why there's this sort of dichotomy between the Japanese and the Chinese. And so with the Asians thinking like that, there's no minority thing here. It's us even though we're a minority. So we side with the whites. We see the same thing the whites see. Now, of course, we have to be mindful of these propaganda imagery and whatnot and so forth, because the state has done this shit many times. You know, where they get some agents out there and some signs and they manipulate them, they vulnerable and not understanding that, you know, there's a Machiavellian tactic being used against them. They're not understanding. So these, you know, agents get out there with signs too, and they're holding signs up, you know, down with affirmative action, and affirmative action discriminates against Asians. Of course, there's been this late thing too about rising hate crimes against Asians and whatnot. You know, all these things take into effect here. And so be mindful of that shit too. But when you weigh it, you can see the realness in it. And it runs deep. I mean, it goes deep. You know, it just goes deep than what's on the surface on CNN. You know, they get together, they got the little young sister on there now. They've given her a position. They've given her a position. She, you know, she's up with mobility and the whole shit. They've given her a whole hour, you know, to stare into that camera and to be able to talk to 300-400 million people or whatever, you know, millions of people as an audience, you know. And so, and these have been a couple of cases where they've even asked a couple of, you know, like the little sister, I believe it was on MSNBC. She's gone, and then Stolen Dad O'Brien. She's no longer with CNN. And so this Joy Reid girl, I think they asked her. You know, but the whole point is the surface thing, without going into the intricacies of the why is the Asian side, it should be over here with us. It's okay, well, you say minorities, the specific folks on black people. Okay, well, we got to part ways here now. Because it's about self-preservation now. And so the Japanese and the Chinese, the Japanese in particular, the Japanese is because they are in cahoots with the Western capitalists, was referred to as the Anglo-American establishment, which is no more, no less than England and America, just on the opposite ends of the Atlantic Ocean. On the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. That's what's called the Anglo-American establishment. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, the WASP, in terms of Anglo-Saxon culture, history, and pride, and being Protestants, a faction of the Christian creed. And, of course, America is the bastard child of England. England's the bastard child of Rome. Rome is the bastard child of Greece. And Greece is the bastard child of barbarism. And so establishing themselves together as a collective, after World War II, they start seeing the balance of technology shift, and that the Japanese wasn't having that Hiroshima or Nagasaki shit no more. They weren't having that no more. And so therefore, these forces that operate behind the president, like the Big New Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, these people you don't even hear about. You wouldn't even know exist. You didn't even say his own damn name. You didn't spell it. And so they created what was referred to as the Trilateral Commission. Tri means three. So you got the Anglo-American establishment. That's two. Well, who's the third? Third one is the Japanese. This is why when America tries to look and see its interests over there in the Far East, who is its satellite? It's the Japanese. And so it's an exchange program as part of that deal. And so the Japanese able to come in and prosper. And these are some of those who are against affirmative action because they're trying to get in the Harvard. They're trying to get at the Ivy League school where the white man, the so-called white man, is lining up these blacks. And so now we got to put them in the front of the line. Because we need to right these wrongs that our ancestors, that our great-great-great-grandpappers had done. We're trying to cleanse our souls. We're trying to save our souls so we can get a chance into heaven too. Or when the new kingdom is ushered in by the return of Jesus. That's what this is all about. That's why you see that. That's why you saw these segments where the cameras fixated on these agents who were out there protesting too, saying down with affirmative action. You know, because it discriminates against Asians. In the meantime, the Chinese is what? Is seen as public enemy number one. Well, shit. They call it, what did Trump do? He called it, you know, what that place is, they claim that the COVID virus came out of. They blame the Chinese for everything. Oh, what is it? The Chinese did. You know? Oh, the Chinese did. Oh, this is what the Chinese does. Or some balloons. Oh, the Chinese did. The tactic. And I'm not saying there are no Chinese East Asians out there doing the same shit. What I'm telling you is it could be some possible distinctions here. And what we're getting at is we're bottoming it out so we can understand the politics of the political ramifications of affirmative action. The advancement of who? And so the Japanese come, they collect it, like Malcolm said, and they do what? They put that shit in a van to where they look out for their own interests. The Chinese do it too. And this is why you see, furthermore, these positions that are meted out, that are handed out to East Asians, you know, under the empire. And so a lot of these are trying to get into these Ivy League schools. The sinister Machiavellian tactic to keep the people in static, in constant static. Is there a solution? What's the solution to it? The solution is a revolution. The solution is the revolutionary transformation of a decadent society into a higher form of living to where people can reclaim their own lives and put their own lives back into their own hands. What some of us know as self-determination. It is clear as night is from day, and we'll never say it enough. We want the same thing for our people that George Washington wanted for his, and at the same time, George Washington was a hypocrite. Washington was a hypocrite who could never be seen in our eyes as democratic, ever. All the people who we've told came along in history, Moses, Muhammad, Buddha, Jesus, Krishna, Confucius, they will all be opposed to him. Every last one of them. That's why you see the Asians choosing their side. Dr. John Henry Clark, who some of us may be familiar with, gave a speech years ago. If it ain't the best speech, it's most definitely in the top three. The name of that speech was, "We Ain't Got No Friends." And that's what he was talking about. That's what he meant. But again, we cannot lose sight of that black intelligentsia or those blacks who seek to become part of the black intelligentsia. And what should their mission be? What should be their goals? Is it for personal aggrandizement, personal accomplishment, done and out of the way? Now, let's get down to the real business. The great revolutionary and philosopher Huey P. Newton said, "Power's ability to find phenomena and make it act in the desired manner," and that black people as individuals are not made the terrible error or make the mistake of the me, mine, I ideology or taking that position in the country under a system that is clearly has its ambitions for white male rule. And that it would be suicide in so many words and so many ways to fall into this me, my, I thing until the shit hit the fan. Then start going on about we. There will be casualties. Realistically, we fucked up. We fucked up. As a people, we fucked up. They've got us all over the place. But that doesn't make it impossible. That's why it's called a struggle. So, it's a war of the intelligentsia versus the white ruling class power structure. And so you see a lot of young people out there. You know, they got out there, you know, and they were expressing their anger and rage and disappointment over some so-called august body to decide the educational fate of a particular group of people who belong to a larger segment of that group of people. In the meantime, the bigger war's out in the streets. Now, how do we let that keep coming up as a class issue within our own ranks? How we kill this shit? Or we squash it? And this is the dilemma that we're going to face. Now, was that decision assigned to black people collectively? And assigned to black men specifically? Was it assigned? You know, like, for those who understand from a biblical perspective, like how the Philistines, you know, terrorized the Israelites, so to speak, or had become the mortal enemies of the Israelites, right? And that the Lord would I don't know if it was allow the Philistines to do what they was doing until the Israelites got their minds right. If they wanted that land flowing with milk and honey. You know? And that, in so many ways, you take two steps or whatever, or I'll take a step with you, step forward with you, whatever, you know, and how God every time, the Lord backed them every time, Yahweh, whatever you want to call him, Jehovah, backed them every time when they stepped out there. Of course, you know, I'm speaking, you know, from biblical story, you know what I'm saying? Because some people could look at it from another angle, from saying that the point is that When they got up the nerve to step out there, then their God they didn't know was with them. You know. And you know, I think about that sometimes personally, that is. You know, now I shut out my comrades, but you know, but it's a sign from a certain perspective that, you know, Some of us have already predicted this shit years ago. We said that black people not going to move until the white man put us back in chains. Then we're going to want to do something. But affirmative action, according to that paper written by Ketanji Jackson and read by Woodard, is a sign, an indication in that direction. Black men, what we gonna do? Now again, that doesn't cover the collective black masses of us, you know, collectively supposed to be 40-something or 40, 30-something. You know, there's a collective. Again, it's a small, tiny, tiny, tiny segment of us. But however, again, that small, tiny, tiny segment that, according to history, ends up being the leadership is where we at with. And the narrative that goes with it. That's in the academic world. You know, there's a affirmative action. And let me say that there's also these things where, like, there was sort of like discretion. You know, there was this sort of like a take some of the sting out. with this, but wait, there still will be this and this and this, you know, that it is up to the, the adjudicator, whoever, who may steal this, that, and the other, and, you know, the sort where, it ain't all in, you know. It ain't totally iron-fisted sort of thing, you know. In other words, okay, well, you hoping that when you go over to this university school and then you have to apply and whatnot, you start looking at your grade and they compare this person on, you know, this person's grade in some Asian, and you hoping that this person somehow, some kind of way, has some kind of sympathy or can twist it and say you accept it. Amazing. The things that they put us through. Sitting on pins and needles. Now, that's in the academic world. But
like
that affirmative action shit, yeah, Conrad, that's what we had called.
No. I just wanted to add about the as it relates to, like, the affirmative action piece. I just wanted to say, like, I mean, you know, they talk about how what it was supposed to and what it was meant and set out for it to be. But, I mean, shit, it's 2023 right now. And yet to this day, we still hearing, you know, the first black this or the first black that. So that me and my type of thinking, I go to thinking, like, is it really working or is it really set out to do what it was intended to set out to do? And if it was, who is it and what is it, or who are them or they that it was set up to work for? You did?
Right. And you're hitting it right on the head. There you go. And see, like you see, like your thinking, see, like your mind, that shit registered in your brain computer. You know, and I know there's a lot of other brothers who shit registered in them too. And we just looking at you up beside, we're like, wait a minute, brother, you right. Well, who actually has a shit benefit? Who actually, you literally. And this is the nature, you know, of this topic of this show. You know, that's what I want to put the shit on your frontal lobe, like, really think about the shit. So don't generalize it. Don't generalize the shit. Let's go into it, like, really look intricately. Yeah, has it really? You know, there you go. Getting right on the head. I mean, look, some people be brutal with this shit, man. Some people, look, some, man, I give a fuck about affirmative action. Not niggas are still in slavery. I give a fuck this nigga. We ain't got this, we ain't got that. With it. That's him. That's his shit. You know, but collectively, we in bad shape. That shit's invisible to the real world. You know, some people, I give a fuck about that. I care about this shit. Look, there are some brothers, man, who care about wanting to even hear this conversation, you know, listen to the radio shit. Yeah, but you get it right on the head. It's something to think about. You know, something to think about. And the opportunity that arises to put your shit on the table, we don't care who won them on. Now, if you got a problem with it, then like saying, well, if the shoe fit, wear it. But it's one place that they didn't touch when it came to form of action. That's the military. See, they won't touch that. Oh, no, nigga, come right on in. Share, share. Welcome, welcome. Be all you can be. Be all you can be. Damn right. Go out and defend democracy. Go out and defend the free world. Go out and defend the free world from terrorism. American values. You stick nigga on the front line disproportionately to the whites. And you don't hear the whites complaining about that, do you? Some of them same whites out there crying about affirmative action discriminated against them. You don't hear them screaming out against that in the military, do you? No, you don't hear that. That shit ain't all over the news. It ain't all over the place. It ain't no major topic. You don't hear Fox even saying it. It's cool. And so to target young black teenagers through the, what they call that, I forget the name of the shit. They come into your school. Selectively choosing black military officers to come into your school. I can't think. It's on the tip of my tongue. Tip of my damn tongue. Can't think of the name of it. It's a program.
Talking about like that's designed like the recruiters?
Yeah, I forget what it's called. I forget what that shit calls. On the tip of my tongue, I can't think of. Well, they come into your school. You know, this shit, nigga shit, clean them with pants, starch, clean shirts. So you ain't got a wrinkle in his uniform. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, that program, no, right, designed to target who? It's designed specifically to target who? Who? Young black males. Young black males. To join the military. To join the military. It's almost like some subliminal thing, you know, to actually, forget about college. I'm joining the military. You get a whole lot of benefits. Yeah. So ain't no ruling it out there. It's wide open. It's wide open. I said, well, yeah, man, you know, yeah, you rap. But look, man, you got just as many white teenagers, you know, rural areas. Yeah, tell me about it. Talk to me about it. The point, I just so happen not to be talking about them. I just so happen to be talking about a specific group. Young black males, the youth, in the so-called school system. Well, renamed as a public school system. That's miseducating our youth. That's miseducating our children. And so the recruitment policies, the recruitment tactics, let's take a look at that. Disproportionately, when it's Iraq shit, Desert Storm and all that shit was going on way back and all this kind of stuff, the Kuwait shit and all this old shock and all shit. You know, look at the percentage. All the whites was cool with that shit, pretty much. 9 out of 10 of the whites was cool. Yeah, but one white, I mean, you know what, it's fucked up how they do, you know, young black men. Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be one. It's going to be one. But they ain't touch it there.
Shit, and add to that too, Chairman. My bad. I'm cutting your wisdom. But to add to that too, it's relevant right there to even in when this Ukraine shit popped off, you know what I'm saying? They was trying to make it seem like Ukraine was so loving and so caring. But then when it came to them getting them brothers on the train for them to get the fuck up out there, they ain't even want to let no black people get on the train. But here, y'all coming to America, KKK, and want us to send our tax dollars over there. And some blacks who involved with paying taxes too. But y'all need to put our people on the train so they can take and escape too. To some place where freedom, what freedom looks like to them. But y'all trying to make it seem
that's
like,
right.
Ukraine, this, and you, even that whole little setup, you know, that all that shit is a free contradiction, because for the simple fact, you know, for Jim Crow Biden to get on national news TV or whatever and say he want to support the human rights violations and the political prisoners in Ukraine. You got that shit going on right here. You quiet as a motherfucker about shit right here in your own backyard. But you can go overseas and dictate and tell motherfuckers how they supposed to live over there. Come on, man.
That's right. There you go. There you go. You're in the right on the head, man. Straight up. And this is what get people to see. This is what get people to see this shit. And this is what it got to be about, man. Full steam ahead, man. Look. And we can face whatever. No. We glad to be able to say that we can have a little political platform, even though it's not seeing it. But we say one thing, you know, put us on CNN and let's raise a couple of issues here. And we'll see how many people get their panties in the bundle. I say that like that because of brother. You say shit like that when motherfuckers get all bent out of shape and, you know, over what somebody's saying and they can't handle it. That kind of stuff. Motherfuckers get a hard on, so to speak, you know. You want to go psycho, want to go psychotic over shit, you know. But that's the whole point of it all, you know, the political ramifications of affirmative action, you know, and the many different angles that you can see it from, that you can look at it at. Again, not this usual suspect explanation with shit, you know. You don't have to go to college to be no success, to be somebody. And that's the reason why, you know, they took out the trades out the schools to further throw us into a predicament. You know, hi, welcome to McDonald's. You know, or if you got the stamina, the type of mind, the discipline to where it takes you to be sitting in the class every day and to go home and read and study. Get into books or shit. Join the military. You don't join the military, well, you can and fight it up too. Or you get into the hustle game because science and technology is turning the job market into what? Automatons. And let's not forget this here. These capitalists are so obsessed that not, they shit eating at their own leg. We just want to speed it up. We hope that the good Lord, in on due time, can speed it up, can make their problems even more chronic, providing that the oppressed masses gonna have to understand and learn and know what to do. Get out of the way. Matter of fact, join in their destruction through the revolutionary transformation of society. And some people get nervous. You know, so you might lose some of your friends or some of your contacts, you know, speaking this way. You know, but it is what it is. Like Frederick said, black people won't run without thunder. And we're going to stop right there. Stay tuned next week. Another show, another segment, Political Education Class, People's Political Party, In Defense of People Radio. I'm one of your hosts, National Chairman of People's Political Party, Brother Nat Turner, and my co-host, Brother Motherland, our National Minister of Defense. And we have roles and positions and things that we have to take care of, our posts. And our engineer, our assault technician on ones and twos, Sister Amina Ushun, our National Minister of Communication. Stay tuned next week. We'll see you again. Black power, all power to the people. We out of here.
And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And I survive cause a nigga is special first. You get successful, then they get stressful thirst. Niggas gon' test you, see what your texture's worth. Diamonds and pipes, one of them pressure burst. Street nigga, still I get checks and spurts.
I'm for peace, but before I get pressed, I murk. Better days pray for, but expecting worse. At this level, bullshit, I'm just less concerned. Cruising in a six, looking at the proceeds of rap music on my wrist. Drop another mixtape, my shit booming out this bitch. Young Malcolm, I'm the leader of the movement out this bitch. Look, and this is what it feels like. Reach a level, make you question, is it real life? All the weed good, all the pussy real tight. In the only room, keep your dollar bills right. This is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. What it feels like. And this is what it feels like.
Scorpion bricks, way before Orbeez double disc, 40 on my lap, clap, sound like 40 did the mix, filtered bass, sip coat, like a Michelin star chef, chef, kiss to my wrist, I go dummy with my left, IRS on my dick, try to audit all my checks, too late, you know they hate when you become more than they expect, you let them crack or storm your capital, put their feet up on your desk, and yeah, you talking tough to me, I lost all my little respect, I'm selling weed, in the open, bringing folks, I'm from the feds, I know the payback gon' be mean, I'm saving all my little bread, pray for me y'all, one day I'ma have to pay for these thoughts, real niggas. Niggas is this thing, it ain't safe for me, my dog, they killing niggas in they own hood, that makes sense to you at all, you burnt your bridge to the other side, you know you can't swim across, y'all know niggas can't swim, they fried Mike after he died, y'all know niggas can't win, you never land, don't choke the side, I arrived on the day Fred Hampton got assassinated just to clarify further, what y'all gave birth to is the chairman mixed with Jeff Ford, big step on the jet with my legs crossed, black stones on my neck, y'all can't kill Christ, black messiah is what I feel like. Shit ain't gon' stop cause y'all spill blood. We gon' turn up even more since y'all killed cubs.
And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like. And this is what it feels like.